If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There is a striking irony in our modern world with regard to how people understand and perceive the devil or the demonic. And I use that word with caution. Irony, sometimes the definition usually has a hint of there's something funny or comical about irony. But in this case, there's really nothing funny about it, because we look at our modern world and the irony is that many people who identify themselves as conservative, whether that's Protestant America or the Novus Ordo, which is basically undefined Protestantism, these people are often hesitant to talk about the demonic. But the atheists and the pagans, they freely acknowledge the demonic. That just shows you, obviously, that's the devil's tactic, is to stay hidden. But what is the root of all these different conflicts that people, you could say the world, tries to reduce the spiritual battle to? It's always reduced the spiritual battle that's the devil fighting against us for the salvation of our soul, or fighting against the salvation of our souls. The world portrays it as conservatism versus liberalism, democracy versus communism. And it is partially this, but the world spins it to only be about that, when at the root of all these things is the same enemy, the devil, sin. So if we don't know who the enemy is, and we're being tempted to think that that's the enemy or that's the enemy, when they probably are all the enemy or their influence, everybody is attacked by the enemy at some point in their life. We have to know who the enemy is so that we know how to defend ourselves. That's very important. And it's also important to know, when it comes to battling the devil, what is our only weapon? What is the only weapon we actually have to fight the devil? That is the cross of Christ. The cross is the sign of victory that triumphs over Satan, the powers of darkness. The devil sees the cross and trembles. And so this thought should be on the forefront of our mind as we are on this first Sunday of Lent. The importance of the cross, but also the reality of the devil. So each morning as we begin our Lenten exercises and we start off our day and we have the fasting and we are trying to do whatever we have as our personal resolutions, it's important to review in our mind, especially with our morning offering. If you're not making a morning offering, you've almost already failed in this regard. We have to make a morning offering. Why? Because we have to refocus our mind on why we're doing what we're doing. Are we just giving up things because it's like a historical custom of the church? Is it just some kind of routine, just tradition? Is that what it is? Or is it the cross? We have to make that mental distinction in our mind, and we have to renew that daily. A lot of people, we could say, the majority of people in the world, sadly, fail to see the reality that the cross has to be applied to them personally. They miss this point. People lose their soul because they fail to apply the cross to themselves, or allow it to be applied to themselves. And this is a very important thing. The words of our Lord, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The cross has to be applied to you. What does it look like if somebody doesn't apply the cross to them? What does that look like? Well, that could be why someone could hear sermons their entire life. They may even come to Mass. They might pray a rosary here or there. They might know some of the basics of their catechism. God exists. He rewards and punishes. Christ came. He died for my sins. They know all that. They try a little bit. They're tempted. They experience temptation and then they stop. Their confessions are hit and miss. They might stop receiving Holy Communion, cutting themselves off from the application of the cross to themselves. And eventually such a person ends up giving up the faith altogether because they become so tempted, the devil has won them over. It's not a quick process usually with most people. It's usually a logical thing. The devil is very logical and very planned in his attacks. And we see this outlined for us in the gospel. It's quite fascinating, actually, but in a terrifying way. Little by little, the devil works on us. Such a soul who slowly falls for these temptations, they're forgetting. Their only thing that can save them from these attacks of the devil, from the attacks of their fallen human nature, from the enticements of the world, is the cross. The cross is the only thing. Because that is the means by which we are saved. Christ dying on the cross and opening the gates of heaven. And that cross has to be applied to us in a personal way, whether that's in the confessional, the forgiveness of our sins. The only reason the priest has that power is because Christ gives the sacrament that power, and it receives its value from the cross. When we come to Mass, we see the cross before us. We relive it. We are there on Calvary at every Mass. That is why we go to Mass, so that the cross is applied personally to us. Not just in a general way. That's a misconception. Sometimes we fall into that misconception. We forget that the cross is personal because why is the cross personal? Why is it personal? Because sin is a personal offense against Almighty God. That's why. Christ's sacrifice on the cross is personal. He did not die for an abstract humanity. No, he died for you. He died for me. Personally. Because he loves us personally. We have to remember that that God and his love is not how our love is. God's love is infinite. Therefore, when he loves you personally, he loves you without... When he loves someone else, it doesn't take away from that love and then you get loved less. It doesn't work with God like that because he is infinite. When he loves us, that means he loves us in a personal way. Therefore, the cross has to be applied to us in a personal way if we are to follow Christ, if we are to show and prove our love for him. And the cross is love. It's sacrificial love. We know that we're held in existence by God. That means that he loves us. The fact that we're here living and breathing means he's loving us. If he stopped, we would cease to exist. He loves us personally. And our soul is created for heaven. It's like a homing beacon to heaven. Our soul is not created for this world. It's created for everlasting happiness. The only reason we're here on this earth is to now attain heaven. To have that peace with God for all eternity. Now, this is why it's so interesting why the devil hates us so much. Why he hates our soul so much. Because our soul is an opportunity to have what he does not and will never have. Therefore, he hates us with a hate that's unimaginable. Just because we have this soul that can attain everlasting peace. It's important to have a healthy knowledge of the devil. We have to know who the enemy is. We know what the world is. We know that that's fighting against us. The world, it's all the enticements of the world that seem nice, but they distract us from our true purpose. We know all too well what our flesh is, the world, the flesh. We know that that's our fallen human nature constantly working against us. But what is the devil? What is that? What is the devil? Who is he? We have to keep in our minds that out there, and out there means everywhere, there's a preternatural being that wants your soul in hell for all eternity. And that thing, that preternatural thing, never sleeps. And his intellect is smarter than all the intellects of all men who have ever lived combined. That is how intelligent he is. He's not bound by the laws of physics. And his malice and hatred for God is so great that if we even had a little bit of knowledge of what that was, we would die of fright instantly. That is how scary the devil is. The devil hates your soul. Why? Once again, you have an opportunity to be in heaven happy with God for all eternity. The devil hates that. So we don't want to tiptoe, so to speak, with the world, with sin, especially mortal sin, because that's tiptoeing with the devil. The devil knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows everything about us. He knows everything about our nature. He's studied it for thousands of years. He knows everything about us. What tempts us, what gets us. He knows when we're down. He knows those things. So this is terrifying, but what's the consolation? What consolation do we have in this? Well, first, we have to know what the devil doesn't have. What does our enemy not have? He does not know the future. The devil does not know the future. And the devil, he does not have any control over our free will, or else it would not be called free will. The devil cannot force us to do anything. But he can get us really close. The devil's like a dog that's trapped inside a house, if you want to keep it in that analogy. He's like a dog in a house, and he barks and barks and barks, and he wants you to come and open the door, and then he'll bite you. But he can't get you to open the door. He can't force you to turn the doorknob. He's just going to keep barking. That's what the devil does. He has no power over us when it comes to our free will. That's very important to keep in mind. And we know that God can crush the devil instantly. So then why does the devil still exist? Why is he still here? Why does he bother us? Why does God allow such an evil being? Preternatural, by the way, means a spiritual creature that doesn't have a body. It's created by God, lives in eternity, doesn't have a body. Spirit, it's a spirit, a fallen angel. That's what the devil is. And there's many, many of the devils, because there were many fallen angels. The gospel gives us a good idea, a good understanding of how the devil works. And this is why our Lord allowed himself, quote unquote, to be tempted. He's not tempted in the way that we're tempted, no. It's way different. Because we have fallen human nature, we have concupiscence. So that when we hear the devil's allurement and it's a big lie, it sounds good to us because we have fallen human nature. To our Lord, it's not the case. But he did allow the external attack, the external torment from the devil. He did allow that. Why did he allow that? To teach us how the devil works. How does he tempt us? I think we know all too well how he tempts us, actually. But I think it's helpful to break it down. So the temptations, quote unquote, of Christ, they're a lesson for us. What's the first temptation that we see very quickly in the gospel? What was the first one? Command that these stones be made bread. That's what he tells our Lord. Perform this miracle. What is it a temptation to? Gluttony and self-gratification. The most base of our fallen human nature that we fall into. This is why Holy Mother of the Church has us fast during Lent. The devil whispers, love thyself, gratify your passions. Mankind doesn't need sacrifice. What you need is something that's going to make you feel good. That's what he says. Make your body feel good. That's what the devil says. This is temptation. This is why fasting is so important. So that's the first temptation. The devil doesn't get us on that one. He moves on to number two. What is number two? He says to our Lord, cast thyself down and raise thyself up again. He's basically saying to our Lord, do something incredible, something that makes the people just bow down and say, that was amazing. This hints at, very much so, our entertainment world. how we are constantly trying to find something that is the next coolest and amazing thing. Think of all the time people spend on those short videos trying to find that, wow, that was really cool. That was amazing. This person did this. That's amazing. It's the world. The devil uses these things. Not that all those things are sinful, but think of the waste of time and the waste of our level of attention that we put into those things, seeking after something that just simply, we sit down and it just entertains us. It's base entertainment. That is what that temptation from the devil was to our Lord. Do not sacrifice yourself, just be entertained. This is why during Lent we strive to give these things up, our entertainment, things that we like. They might not all be bad, but most of it is bad. And it's the devil's playground, so to speak, the entertainment world. What's the third temptation? If he doesn't get us in those two, he moves on to number three. Also, if he has got us in number both one and two, he solidifies it with number three. What is this? The temptation towards power, avarice, and then the world. He says to our Lord, all of this, all of the world that you see brings him up to the pinnacle. All of it that you see, I will give to thee if thou bow down and worship me. The final temptation is direct worship of the devil. Now, it doesn't always go this far for most people, hopefully. But this is the devil's final card. He wants to get someone solidified in a habit of sin. So we can maybe just break it down to that point alone. We become enslaved by our passion or by the temptation, the reoccurring temptation. The devil just has to sit back and just let it happen, because he's tricked our minds into thinking that we need that thing. That's his final trick. Adore me now, he whispers, then repent later. It'll be fine. That's the very insidious temptation from the devil. So these thoughts are scary. They should be. They are. They're very real. The devil is very real. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, as it's read in the Mass for today. But we know that the cross is our victory. In fact, it's our only victory. It's the only chance we have. If not, we will fail miserably. What are we against a being that can do such things? Nothing. That is our strength. Our weakness, our strength is found in our weakness, our humility, because that's what terrifies the devil, because his sin was one of pride. So therefore, the cross is not optional. It is our only hope. So let us really strive to enter into a deeper meaning of this gospel and also this message as we start off on this first week of Lent. Really reflect on the cross and reflect on your personal cross. That is your ticket to heaven. Thank Almighty God for it. And be aware of the temptations of the devil. And so we'll finish with that line that we find in the gospel. So important for Lent, but let us refocus our mind on this. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.